Hello and welcome back to Flash Knockdown. Would you believe it? Series 4, episode number 1 is here. And what better way to start than here in San Francisco for Devin Haney versus Regis Prograis Fight Week. Here's what we have coming up for you all on today's show. I caught up with both sides of Saturday's main event. Regis and Devin are both on the show to preview Saturday's main event. Ebony Bridges talks Saturday's ring return and takes on our new quiz, Coach Drip. Beatriz Ferreira is first up in a new segment, Dealing with Defeat. Our very own Frank Smith reviews the best things to happen in boxing last week and reflects on the Matchroom year. And all the usual Flash Knockdown shenanigans coming up from myself, Jamie Ward, and producer Scott Hamilton. Don't go anywhere. Devin Haney, great to see you. Big time boxing back in the Bay, back in San Francisco. Why is this a special fight week and a special moment for you personally?
This is special fight week because I'm bringing it back home. You know, it's been a long time coming. It's always been a dream of mine to you know, bring a big fight, big event back to the Bay Area, and here we are. The time has come.
At this stage of fight week, just a few sleeps to go now, if we could take a look into the mind of Devin Haney right now, what do you think we would see at this stage of the week?
At this point in fight week, I feel calm, I feel ready mentally, physically, you know, a lot more rested, a lot more fresher than I was, you know, in the past, you know, with, you know, trying to make the weight and, you know, focusing on making weight more so than the fight. But I'm at this point, I'm much more relaxed and I feel better than my past.
What excites you, Devin, about stepping into this new division?
What excites me about stepping into this division is that, you know, I'm gonna be a lot more stronger, a lot more fresher, faster. The world is gonna see a better Devin Haney than the past.
Euralius, Devin, the dream Haney. What do you think that says about your quest for greatness in this sport?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in reality, I'm living a dream. You know, 25 years old, fresh 25. You know, fighting at the highest level, fighting the best fighters in the world, selling out arenas, you know, around the world, and you know, this is all a dream of mine. Me and my dad set out to, you know, We had this vision a long, long time ago, and you know, everything is coming into fruition, and yeah.
You're still young now, of course, but when you were a young kid with a dream, in what way did you always visualize a night like this, but in San Francisco especially?
You know, I've always, you know, wanted to, you know, sell out an arena or, you know, fight, you know, under the bright lights, and, you know, a lot of people watch and a lot of people come, but it's something different about, you know, finding the Bay Area and bringing it back here, bringing it back home, bringing a big event back home to the Bay Area, which hasn't been done in so many years. For me to be the first person to do it in a long time is a dream come true.
And you've done so much already in your career for such a young man. But what makes this fight against Regis Prograis an important fight in your story, do you think?
This fight is important to me because it's a chance for me to make history, you know, a milestone for me, you know, a goal to become a two-division champion and, you know, beat the champion once again. And, yeah.
As of until about Saturday evening, when the fight is done, what is Regis Prograis to you right now and what is he standing in the way of?
Regis Prograis is just another opponent. He's another body in front of me, you know, somebody that I got to get through to get to where I want, and that's pretty much it, you know. I don't get too drawn into him and who he is because my main focus is you know, beating him, and that's it.
Whose division is this, and what are your thoughts on Devin Haney stepping into it?
This is my division, and that's what I want to prove. You know, if you know, Devin Haney wants to come up and, you know, he wants to challenge me, you know, I applaud him for it, but this is my division. And I've been saying this for years. This is my division. You know, I have, Marvin Hagler tattoo right here, and that's one of my idols because, you know, he stayed in his division his whole time, you know, and that's something that I want to do. I want to stay at 140. 140 is going to be my division. I want people to know this 140 is my division. You can say you can go down, you can go up and do whatever you got to do. I know he said he was going to go up at 47. After this, congratulations, you can do that. You can win belts there, but at this weight, at 140, this is my division.
Do you think he's made a mistake, Regis, in calling your name?
Yeah, I think so. I for sure think he made a mistake, for sure.
As of until Saturday evening, when the fight is done, everything for the whole build-up is over and it's part of history now. Until that moment, what is Devin Haney to Regis Prograis this week?
Enemy. That's all. He's just an enemy right now. I can't, you know, it's no respect. It's no respect there. It's just right now, Devin Haney is my enemy. That's all. Devin Haney, Bill Haney, the whole Haney team. If your last name is Haney, I don't care. They all enemies to me right now. You know, that's just how it is.
Based on your journey, which you talked about earlier, Regis, what do you think separates yourself and Devin Haney as people and as fighters?
As people, I don't really know. I mean, I know that he didn't struggle and come from the same place I came from as a person. Then as a fighter, same thing. You know, I really struggled to get here. You know, he never had to really struggle, you know. And I mean, like I said, he his daddy quarterbacked everything, and congratulations for them. But I didn't have that. I never had that. I really struggled, and I really got this really out the mud, you know. Like, everything I did, like, I built this, like, brick by brick with my own hands. And, you know, I can't let nobody, for me, like, let nobody take that from me.
In this sport, when things are going well, and you've had amazing moments so far in your story, how good are the good times? How would you describe it for someone who's never done it and never been in the ring?
They're great. I mean, the good times is like, they feel like really good because, and it's not even just the good times, it's like all the stuff you put into, all like the hours and hours and hours. You know, like one of my biggest, the hurdles I had to get through was, you know, like sitting in for me, like boxing purgatory, you know, when I was a champion and I lost the belt, then sitting there for 3 years. And then like that whole time, it's like I was grinding and just kept grinding. But I always knew I'm going to be right back to where I need to be at. And then I became a two-time world champion. So that was, for me, that was like a real big moment. That was like a real proud moment for me.
And on the flip side of the good moments, we were all there when you boxed Josh Taylor over in London. How did you overcome any low periods you might have been through in this sport?
Just my people, my family. That's the main thing. Like, see, a lot of people don't realize, like, for me, like, it's boxing, but then it's my personal life. You know, my boxing life is cool and it's fun and all that stuff, but my personal life is actually way better. Like, with all my friends and stuff like that, and my family and my kids and my wife, like, we really have a lot of fun. I have close friends that, like, most of the guys you see around me, like, I've been around them, like, 20 years, you know? So that's the thing. It's a big, big difference on, like, what I have going on. So, yeah, like, I mean, the boxing world is one thing, but outside of that, man, my personal life is so good to where, like, it, you know, I want to get back to, you know, being a champion and all that stuff again. But like I said, my personal life was so good that it really didn't get me down, to be honest.
When you're standing on that ramp, Regis, at the Chase Center on Saturday night, your music comes on, there's 19,000 fans in that arena. Why does that bring a smile to your face?
Like, I can't wait, bro. I just can't wait. I'm just so happy. Like, I'm relaxed. I'm so loose. They say the happy fight is the best fight. And, like, that's how I am right now. Like, I'm so, like, you know, I'm like, so excited. I'm so happy for this, you know. And as long as I go out there and be loose and relaxed, like, I'm going to be good. Everything is going to go smooth. And all cylinders going to be firing away. And as long as I go out there and, like I said, keep thinking and listen to the game plan my coaches have for me, everything is going to be, it's no failure, no such thing.
Well, first up on the inaugural element, what can we call this? Coach trip.
We're calling it coach trip, which gives away a little teaser into the quiz, which we'll come on to.
Our first guest on coach trip, which we will explain a little later on, is IBF World Bantamweight Champion, Ebony Bridges. Ebony, good to see you. Smiles as always. Big energy here in Fight Week in San Francisco. Been a little while since we've been here. How's it feel to be back?
You know, I was starting to forget what it felt like, honestly. But then I got in here and just get, like, you know, straight in. And then it all came back. And I love Fight Week. It's my favourite, obviously. You know, even though I'm cutting, I still love all this stuff for the Fight Week. You know, I love all the events and everything that we do. It just still gets me, you know, in the zone and ready for the weekend.
In terms of missing it, what have you missed about the big occasions away from just fighting, but being a part of big events like this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I miss fighting. You know, I love fighting. You know, and being able to go in there and hurt people. It sounds so bad, but I really do enjoy like hurting my opponents. Like, and so that obviously I miss. And then just the whole vibe and energy around Fight Week. You know, I've felt like I'm born and I'm made for the big stage, I'm made for the big lights, and I'm made for this kind of stuff. So you know, it really feeds me. You know, coming here, I'm full of energy. Like, see me last week, and I'm eating less now and all that stuff, but you see me last week, I was like, ugh. And I come in here, I'm like, holy shit, where is this energy from? Do you know what I mean? I just love it. It feeds me. And you know, obviously everyone at DAZN, Matchroom and other fighters, it's just, yeah, it's great.
I think when you look at last year, it was a massive year for you.
Yeah.
In the ring, wasn't it? With the wins over Maria Romain and then Shannon O'Connell. In terms of growth, not just as a fighter, but as a person, what do you think you were able to learn about yourself last year?
About myself? That's a tough question.
That's a bit deep, Jamie.
That's
a bit
deep.
Well, I'm not really well, so I felt
what
like
have
we
I learned
go,
about myself? I don't know, like...
we can go with
nothing,
the hard-hitting
like,
questions.
Yeah, no, like I, you know, I am me. I'm this, you know, it's, I get what I say I'm going to do. Like it's, I mean, I've not really learned that. I already knew that. Said I was going to be a world champion, I became a world champion, there was no doubt, you know. Said I was going to smash up O'Connell and said I was better than her in every way, and I did that, you know. And here I am again, you know, I'm going to win this weekend and I will. And, you know, next year's huge as well. So I'm not really learning, I'm just being me and I suppose just growing more. If anything, I'm just learning more about boxing, you know. Every day I'm in the gym, every fight I have, I learn more and more about myself in the ring than anything.
Well, in terms of learning in the gym...
Yeah.
New training setup for this fight. No longer with Mark Tibbs. First fight in the corner with Dave Caldwell. Why was this the time to make that change? And how are you finding living in Rotherham?
I'm not living in Rotherham. I'm living in Sheffield. Not that it's much different.
Okay.
No, I am living in Sheffield. Actually, it's beautiful in Sheffield. I do love Sheffield. The greenery and the valleys, peaks, beautiful. I love it up north. I've always loved it up north, as we know. It's good. I made the move because I thought... I knew what was next, as in I knew, obviously coming back from the injury, I had my comeback fight, and then I knew next year was going to be a really big year, and I also knew that I wanted to move up north, and I just thought, rather than doing it amongst next year, when there's some really big fights, get started now, why waste any more time, you know, get a trainer and build with them, and do that. And also Dave's a great trainer, you know, he's, you know, I've learned so much with him. We clash heads a little bit, but it's like in a good way, I think, because I'm such a perfectionist, and I, as you know, you've heard from like, you know, Mark and that, like I ask questions, I want to know everything. I want to be my best, put a lot of pressure on myself to be the best. And he's like, I'm positive, but he's, how do I say it? He's always like that I'm thinking too much. Do you know what I mean? And I just got to do it. And all that, he's good for my mind, you know, and the boys in the gym are great. And it's been a bit hard for me this camp, mainly because it's his style of training, and the camp is completely different to any other camps I've done. It's so different. What he does in the gym, you know, what we do in the gym, what you know, how we're getting preparing. So it's so foreign to me that it's I'm having to really trust the process. Like it's not like, oh yeah, I've done this before, or yeah, this is what we do, and this is how I get fit, and this is how I get ready, because it's very different. So I'm just having to trust the process, and I believe it's all coming together. I've had some great spars, you know, my last few spars, I'm feeling fit. Feel like when I get in that ring this weekend, it's all going to come together. I'm definitely punching hard. I'm punching so much better. I can feel it. I can see it. You know, so yeah, I'm feeling like it's going to be a bit of an evolution this weekend.
Look forward to that. Ebony, I'm going to cross live now to producer Scott.
Yes.
Who's going to go over the rules of this new quiz. So here he is. I don't even know what this is. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Jamie. Welcome, Ebony, to our new quiz. It's called Coach Trip. So this is for charity. So if you are top of the pops at the end of the series, you do get a payout to your chosen charity. So we've got 10 questions here, and it's sort of in the name. We're going to try and find out how much you know about Dave Caldwell. So it is multiple choice. It's multiple choice. So you've got half a shot here.
Oh, multiple choice, that's good.
A, B or C, we've got 10 questions.
Brilliant.
A couple of boxing ones, a couple of random, and maybe one or two little stitch-ups as well. So if you're ready, we'll get cracking.
Let's go.
Okay, question number one. Who is Dave's favourite fighter? Is it A, Tony Bellew, B, Sugar Ray Leonard, or C, Mike Tyson?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
You are correct. One from one.
Great start.
Not Tony Bellew.
So I was stoked, Jenny.
Number two, what's Dave's favourite fight? Is it A, Gatti versus Ward, B, Corrales versus Castillo, or C, Hagler Hearns?
Hagler Hearns or Corrales versus Castillo. Ooh, I feel like it's either B or C. Oh my god, what are any of those?
Mine's B, just for the listeners out there. What a fight that was.
Mine's, I love B as well.
It's not about you, Scott.
Sorry, Jamie.
Now I want to say A. I'm going to say A.
Oh, you've gone through the whole A, B, and C there, but you've changed your mind. Final answer?
Yeah.
Gatti Ward. Correct, 2 from 2.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Fair play. Like,
yeah. This quiz is too easy.
When I thought about it.
It's going to get harder, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, question number three. Excluding boxing, what is Dave's, or sorry, who is Dave's sporting hero? Is it A, Michael Jordan, B, David Beckham, or C, Jonah Lomu?
It has to be those last two, because I'd say Beckham because of his football team, but I've never heard of the other guy. He must be a footballer as well.
Which one haven't you heard of?
The last one.
Jonah Lomu, rugby legend.
Rugby.
Oh, New Zealand. Oh, I have heard of him. So I would say Jordan.
Oh, you should have said Beckham. It's David Beckham. It is.
I was originally going to say Beckham. But
okay,
yeah.
Question number four. This is a bit random, this one. What's Dave's favourite song? Is it A, The Clash, Rock the Casbah?
Tune.
B, U2, With or Without You? Or C, Metallica, Master of Puppets?
God, I think he likes the first one.
What does he play in the gym?
He plays our music. Maybe because he probably likes Metallica. Number one.
So you're thinking The Clash?
Yeah.
It's B, U2, With or Without You. Yeah.
Rock the Casbah. Yeah. That's a serious tune.
Okay. Number five. What's Dave's favourite holiday destination? Is it A, Benidorm, B, Marrakesh, or C, Dubai?
Would love to see Dave in Benidorm.
I'll say Dubai.
You went in early there. You are correct. Yeah. That is Dubai.
I don't know where the others are.
Question number six.
Don't fancy Benidorm? You don't fancy going to Benidorm one day?
Whenever, don't even know what that is.
Yeah, swerve that. It's in Spain.
Oh.
I'll let you look it
up.
It's
not great. Question number six. What's Dave's favourite takeaway? Is it A, Indian, B, Chinese, or C, pizza? And I must admit...
not pizza. Indian. Chinese.
Should have gone with pizza.
Pizza,
it's pizza.
Really?
Although, I must admit, when I asked Dave, he said, I don't really like takeaways, full stop.
Yeah,
so
I was literally about to say that. I was about to say him eat takeaway. I'm pretty sure I had a conversation with him about pizza the other day. I said to him, I could eat a whole pizza and still not be satisfied. Like, just don't satisfy me. And he was like, yeah. So, anyways.
What did you eat after a weigh-in? Well, I suppose you can't.
Well, after a win,
well, after the fight, rather. After
Big Mac, first thing, smash two Big Macs.
Is it?
Yeah, love a Big Mac.
Big Tasties, underrated. I don't know if they do them over here. Yeah, they're like seasonal. Anyway, next question. Number seven, so it's only four to go.
I can't believe I didn't say Beckham. Fucking.
You've really fallen off it.
I fucked that one.
You started well.
Sorry,
let's
keep going. I'm going to have like, not going to be able to sleep over that tonight.
Where does Dave do his weekly shop? Is it A, Marks and Spencer's, B, Tesco's, or C, Aldi?
Do you like English? What do you think of the English supermarkets?
I don't care. I go to M&S because everything's cute.
So, yeah. Is that your answer?
No. That's
where do you think Dave would go?
Tesco or
that's not even
Aldi?
An option.
Yeah,
you said Tesco.
Yep, M&S, sorry, Tesco, or Aldi.
Well, I'm going to say Aldi then.
The cheaper one.
Dave's got the same taste as you. It's M&S.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Controversial.
I didn't even... Oh, no, I was going to say... I don't even think there's an M&S in Rotherham. But
three to go.
Oh, true, but, you know, because it's healthy food. That's why. Oh.
Three to go. Number eight. What is Dave's shoe size? Is it A, 6, UK 6, B, 7, or C, 8?
We're size 2.
I'm a size 2. I'd say 7.
You got it right. Size 7. Jamie, he wasn't too happy when you pulled him up on something.
Because number 8 like is like a 9 in Australia, and they're like flippers.
That's quite big. Yeah. Okay, 2 to go.
Are you size 2? Evan, your feet are
these
tiny.
Are these are...
Look at them.
35.
Well, they're a bit of Burberry.
Yeah.
It's very smart. Very
they
smart.
Are pretty rascal, but yeah, they're
very
are small.
Yeah.
2 to go. When is Dave's birthday? Is it A, July the 4th, B, July the 5th, or C, July the 6th?
Oh, holy shit. I'm going to say the 6th.
Correct.
Spot. Was that a lucky guess, or did you know?
Well, it's not the 4th. And the 5th, because I came down here and I'm like, I would remember the 4th. But and the 5th just, I don't know, I don't like odd numbers. So I'm 6th.
Why would you remember the 4th, out of curiosity?
Because of July 4th?
Yeah.
Of July.
Of course.
Dear, right there. Last one.
Jet lag.
Last one. What's Dave's pet hate of you? Is it A, you overthink everything? Is it B, you're late for training? Or is it C, your OnlyFans account?
Oh, definitely that I overthink everything. Because I'm never late.
Spot on, spot on.
He gets the OnlyFans.
Let's
doesn't
up.
Get it, as in.
6 out of 10. That's pretty good, actually. 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10 to not open. Bad.
And you know what? That Beckham one's killing me because I fucking should have.
Yeah.
Why? I'm like, I'm seeing the red, I'm seeing the number 7. I'm like, that's it, is that that? And then I thought.
But yeah, it's a bit weird that his idol is younger than him. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's younger than him, but he's. How old is Beckham?
True, Beckham's getting on a bit now.
It has to be to do with age, is it?
I don't know.
Well, I just thought when you think idol, you think like more growing up.
Yeah, who's your child?
Who's your idol?
For sporting person?
Yeah, or anyone?
I don't know. Actually, it's funny you say that. Because, like, I would. I would say now it would be like Clarissa. I'm not Clarissa. Serena, but Clarissa's amazing as well. Serena Williams. Do you know what I mean? Like those girls, and Clarissa's definitely amazing. But you know, I think like growing up, like in my teens, it was Costa Zoo, mate. He was like freaking. I was like, Costa Zoo's the man. Like he was like the king. You know what I mean? So I think it just kind of depends on my era. But yeah.
Well, 6 out of 10, first up on the leaderboard.
I think that's going to be a really good score.
Not a bad score at all. Bearing in mind, this is your first camp with Dave.
Yeah, I've only been with him.
That's a pretty solid score. You got his birthday right.
I got his birthday right.
Fair play. Final one from you.
Yeah.
Main event this weekend. Who wins and how? Devin Haney, Regis Progre.
Yes. Because my mind's changed that many times on it. I'll say the latest thought is. Oh my God, I don't know. I think Haney by points, you know. I thought that originally, and then I was like, nah, Progre, actually. And I was like, nah, Haney back on points. He's got to be disciplined. Yeah.
Interesting. Can't wait. All the questions answered this Saturday on DAZN pay-per-view. Great. Ebony Bridges,
thank
look
you.
Forward to seeing you back in action as well against Yoshida. First fight with Dave Colwell. Thank you so much for
thanks.
Your time.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Solid score on Coach Trip. Well, next up on the show, as we look at the best things to happen in boxing last week, appearing for the second time on the brilliant podcast, of course, of Flash Knockdown. The reason I have to say that is because it's the man who provides all the funding for the equipment and for the show to take place. So firstly, I just want to thank you, Frank Smith, for everything you've done for me and producer Scott.
No worry. I think that's why you get me on every sort of 6 months, just to make sure that I like keep it going then for the next six. I get another chance on the podcast.
Look at the new equipment. I mean, it might not look like much, but this is high tech. We're back in America, and we're in San Francisco. Big show coming up on Saturday night. When you look at the finish to the year with this show, after two brilliant weekends in Dublin and Belfast, we head to Arizona, of course, next week for the flyweight unification fight, and then to Saudi. Why was it so important to finish the year as strongly as we have done?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's been a wild period. I think we're doing 14 events in 15 weeks from September the 15th.
I'm knackered.
And you've only done about three of them.
I know. How are you feeling? How on earth are you feeling, actually?
I feel amazing, mate. You see, we're lucky. We get to travel around the world, go to amazing places. It's a lot easier than it was back in the day when we were in leisure centres in Widnes and Dagenham, mate. I'll be completely honest with you. But no, it's been a real good run, you know, especially like you say, those last 2 weeks. Dublin was probably one of the best events I think I've ever been to, in terms of the atmosphere and the show, everything around it.
Everyone said that.
Yeah. Not just in boxing, not just involving us, but sporting events as well. You know, something great. Look, every Katie Taylor event, be it MSG, be it the first time at the Three Arena, has created amazing moments. But that was special, that event as a whole. Belfast, you know, surprise. Well, for many people, surprise result in the main event, but another great atmosphere. San Francisco, we're going to be packed out, sold out Chase Center in San Francisco this weekend with one of the biggest fights in boxing this year. Next weekend, another one of the biggest fights in boxing with Sonny Edwards and Bam Rodriguez. And then we end it with probably one of the biggest cards that's ever taken place in boxing with Anthony Joshua, Otto Wallin, Deontay Wilder, Dimitri Bivol, Jai Apatai, Daniel Dubois against Jarrell Miller, Filip Hrgović. Like, I've forgotten.
Can't have lost track of it, yeah. It's probably another three fights we missed off there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just a tremendous way to end the year. And what a year it's been of fights, not just promoted by us, but for the sport in general. Like, we've seen some mega fights this year, and it's great to see.
I know you're always chasing new levels, and you can be a hard man to please at times. When you can look back on the year, once we get through the next few weeks, do you think when you're having your Christmas dinner, you'll be able to look back satisfied, or is there still room for improvement in your eyes?
No, look, I think every year, if you think back to, I've been here 15 years now, and some of the nights we've had over the years, be it, you know, probably thought when we did Wembley with Joshua Klitschko in 2016 or whatever it was, that was probably a moment where we thought, wow, look at this, what we've done here. But every year we thrive to continue and take it to a next level, not just globally, but the shows, everything around the events, and just make it the best possible product. So I am hard to please, but it's because, you know, at the end of the day, we can't get complacent. We need to always focus on what we're doing next. We've had a great year, and I always watch the promos that the guys, well, that you guys put together at the end of the year, and look at the moments that have been created. And it's hard to forget when it's like a, you know, we're a bit like a factory, like a, you know, a circus, just week on week on week, and you quite easily just go, oh, that was last week, goes out of your mind. But when you watch back the nights we create, you know, it's quite special.
How many nights have you been in hotels this year?
By the end of the year, I've got it, because I've planned it out, 270 nights in hotels. Done about 90 flights.
Cool, your points must be pretty good, though.
Yeah, the Hilton Honours points.
Do you know
points.
What the worst thing is? I haven't even got the proper points system. I never collect them. Yeah, neither do I. It's like so much egg. You know, like when they go, when you're checking in, they go, do you want a membership? I'm like, really, I just want to get into a room. So if you could just hurry up that process, that would be ideal. But yeah, it's been a busy year. The last 4 or 5 years, I'd say, have been mental. But like I say, we're lucky to do something that, you know, travel the world and do something fun.
We do, of course, end with a big one in Saudi Arabia. I think I speak on behalf of all boxing fans to say it was quite surreal seeing Mr. Eddie Hearn and Mr. Frank Warren sitting side by side on a top table. But Frank, in all seriousness, surely that can only be good for boxing, all banter aside. I know they go at each other a lot in interviews, but there's got to be respect there deep down, and surely that's positive heading into next year.
Yeah, look, I think everyone's guilty of saying things about, that's the world we're in, boxing. You know, it's all a bit of a game. At the end of the day, we all want to create the biggest nights possible. We want the sport to be as big as possible, and the only way we're going to do that is by working together. You know, we've never, even though we haven't always had the best relationship, we've always worked with Queensbury. You know, I mean, Zach Parker, John Ryder, for example, before this, but it's never been at this level and having the two of them up there together. So yeah, it's a big moment for the sport, and obviously, you know, it's a big driving force being, you know, the His Excellency Turki Alalshehir and the seller and the GEA for bringing that together. And yeah, it's only good for the sport if more of that can happen, not just with Queensbury, but all the promoters out there. You know, there's a lot of promoters involved in that event, but you know, in general for the sport, we all want to make the biggest nights possible.
Well, big nights coming in 2024 on DAZN. We do have some questions, Frank, from the fans, so let me hand over to trusty producer Scott, who's going to enlighten us.
Thanks, Jamie. We've got a couple of shouts here for the best thing to happen in boxing last week, and we're going to run over those talking points. The first up, multiple sent in. Jordan Gill's big away win over Michael Conlon was the best thing to happen in boxing last week.
Well, I think, look, a lot of people watching at home probably would admit that Jordan Gill proved them wrong on Saturday. I think not many people gave Jordan Gill a real chance to beat Michael Conlon, especially in Belfast, but that was a big upset, and he's led himself into great opportunities next year, but he's also one of boxing's good guys.
Yeah, 100%. He's a lovely bloke. And I keep saying, when you look back to when he lost in Peterborough 4 or 5 years ago, you know, who would have thought he'd now be in this moment probably with the biggest win of his career? And yeah, I don't think anyone will sort of contest the fact that you wouldn't have said Jordan Gill was the favourite going into that fight. Michael Conlon's a tremendous fighter. You know, he's had a stellar career, both amateur and professional. But I think we always knew Jordan had the opportunity to create a great fight. We know how tough he is and the fights he's been involved in, and you know, he was never going to quit in a fight. I don't think anyone expected it to go that way, the way that it did, but a tremendous win for him. There's noises everywhere.
That's the beauty of a live podcast recording.
Don't worry about it, lads. No, to be honest, voice. Everyone was bored anyway. They
it's
probably switched
it's
off at
the
this
CEO.
Point.
Yeah. Come on.
That's my starring
Don't
moment.
Know who this is.
oh, don't man. Worry about it. Yeah, I don't think anyone would have saw it going that way, the way it ended. But a tremendous win for Jordan Gill and a special night for him.
Just a quick one. When you look at the 50-50 fights on paper we've seen recently, like Paddy Donovan, Danny Ball, McKenna Crocker, Ajarko Williamson, Cully Mould. When you look at all these fights and when you're looking into next year, is this what you want more of? Do you feel like it's important that the cards are going to be stacked throughout, because we've seen it recently?
Yeah, I think it's what boxing needs. as a sport to keep growing. I think the issue we've had is too many easy fights and too many fights that don't generate interest. And that's the reality. You know, look, we can do all this work, we can create nice promos, we can sell a story, but people want to see, people want to be entertained, and that comes down to a fight. You know, I am what you would call a casual sports fan of, I want to see entertainment. And I'm not like an expert boxing fan. There's a lot out there, but there's also a lot of casual sports fans that we want to bring in. And, you know, to do that, we need to compete like what UFC's done so well, real fights. And you're not always going to win, but if you give it your all, there's going to be so many opportunities for you.
Fights that sell themselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes our jobs a bit easier anyway.
Exactly.
Next shout is from Joe McDonough, who says, Lewis Crocker is the real deal. What a win.
Well, that was a really interesting, fun build-up. And I think when you look at Lewis Crocker and building supporting casts in new places and new territories, is he the type of fighter you expect we could work with again soon?
Yeah, look, I mean, what a night it was in Belfast. The you know, we did that on five weeks' notice, packed out arena. We've been involved in some massive nights there over the years, and we know there's a market there, so definitely an opportunity. You know, one of the fights people are talking about is Paddy Donovan, possibly, for Lewis Crocker.
Yeah, that'd be a massive fight. Love that.
Yeah. I mean, this is, maybe you could start making fights on this podcast.
I think we should. Why don't every week you come on and make a fight? Announce a fight, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I'm not the boxing brain in the business, obviously, but I will try and start making fights for you. Okay. When I went, there was a period, to be fair, when I was matchmaking fights. And I've got to be honest with you, I wasn't the best because we had the guys were ruthless,
like throwing them straight in deep waters, sink or swim.
I mean, that's why I've been sacked from matchmaking and making fights. So, you know, that's why I don't get involved.
Tough job, that matchmaking. Often see our matchmaker Tom Dallas on the phone, pacing up and down the office, phone going off.
In the car park.
Phone
going off.
Just trying to get his steps in.
Yeah. He's doing a terrific job, by the way, Mr. Tom Dallas. Yeah. And I saw him out in Tashkent. Following him on social media, and apparently he was incredible and did a great job for the fighters getting up the ranking. So
yeah, I mean, he's going up again because Eddie was the lead matchmaker as well for a time, so you know he's got big boots to follow.
Did Eddie used to go to them conventions and stuff and rally for the fighters? Surely not.
He went to a couple of conventions, yeah, but look, we've got a big team now. I mean, everyone's doing, you know, like you, sort of part-time jobs, you know. Yeah. So
freelance now.
Exactly.
I think there's another convention this weekend, so WBA, beware, yeah. Tom Dallas is on the prowl to get our fighters higher positioned.
No one mentioned Ryan Garcia's win. No,
we're still two to go.
I like this dynamic as well, by the way. It comes from Scott, it goes into you, and then it goes to whoever the person in this show. I like it.
Do you like it?
It's flowing
well. I like it.
Next shout this week is from Joleon Rice Dyer. I hope I've pronounced that right. It says, Ryan Garcia back to winning ways.
Well, Ryan Garcia is a fighter which I imagine, Frank, albeit he's on the zone, but with Golden Boy, how much is he a fighter that you'd love to work with in the future?
Look, he's a massive star in the sport. He's built a huge profile for himself. And he's, you know, he's delivering, like, delivered in, you know, he didn't get the win in the Tank fight, but he went in there and took on Tank, who many believe to be in the top maybe 5 pound-for-pound fighters today. And he went in there and took a challenge. He looked good in the Duarte fight. Many people sort of questioned whether he was going to get the win on Saturday. So a great win for him, and you know, there's some huge fights to be made, especially for the winner of this fight on Saturday. Haney Prograe, the winner of that fight, goes into the Garcia fight. That's a massive pay-per-view.
What is Devin was in obviously earlier doing his media obligations. We had a few sit downs. I don't think he understood my British accent at times. I had to repeat a few questions. But what did he call you when you walked in? He
calls me Frank the Bank.
Right, because you pay him.
I mean, I wish I was a bank. I don't think I'd be sitting here doing, you know, I'd be retired by now if I was a bank. But yeah, back in the day, he used to call me Frank the Bank. I've obviously known him since he was 21 years old. So it's good to have him back. He's a great guy, a lovely guy, and done amazing things at 25 years old. Got a huge future still in the sport. And good to have the team back around.
From 21 to 25. As he is now, what have you noticed? Any differences in his maturity, or is he still the same? What have you noticed?
His jewellery's got flashier.
Yeah, his jewellery's incredible.
He's always been strangely mature. Like, if you would have said to me when I met him he was 21, like, without knowing, you would have been shocked. You know, he turned pro very early. He had a lot of fights in Mexico. So he was quite grown up. It's kind of like me. Like, I was grown up when I was 17, for example. When we met him at 21, he was grown up. But, you know, I think he's grown into all of it, the show, everything. He does it well. It's all a show, and he gets that.
But in there with someone who really, really fancies it this weekend, not going to go down without a fight, Regis Progre.
Yeah, Regis Progre, I believe, you know, and many people believe the number one 140-pound fighter right now, and that's what Devin wanted. He wants the biggest test. He's saying about going to 147 after this, but as you say, he's got a real test on Saturday night, and I believe it's a 50-50, and I think we're in for a great night.
Such a good fight.
Now, this is a random one. Actually, a pop-up on Facebook 10 years ago today. I was travelling to Stuttgart for Darren Barker versus Felix Sturm, and Hans Alberts, whoever you are, thanks for listening, has sent in the best thing to happen in boxing last week. Felix Sturm got a win. He's back at 44 years of age.
44?
I mean, what's with that about? I thought I'd throw that out there.
Fair play. Do you know what? I actually think Darren mentioned that to me last week in Belfast. He was like, I can't believe he's still going. That is incredible, isn't it?
I think maybe this could be Barker's time to avenge that defeat.
I think he wants Sergio.
Do you remember he flirted with that at one point? Did he ever mention it to you?
I mean, there's been a few flirts from... But look, Darren's doing a great job. Yeah, I mean, but I just think, you know, I don't know. I'd love to see Darren go in there and get the win against Sturm. I remember being at that fight, but... I'm not sure that's going to happen.
He's found his calling on the commentary desk.
Yeah, exactly. Until you sort of take over from him. So maybe that's what will happen. Give it 2 years and then he'll be back in there against Sturm.
Have you ever had to maybe say to a fighter, look, Sturm's 44, maybe like, mate, you know, you're getting on a little bit. Could be time to take a back seat.
Yeah, what's the hardest conversation you've ever had with a fighter?
Is that your job to do so, or is that more the trainer?
Depends who they are. Look, there's different fighters that we have different relationships with. You know, I think years ago, we were not a lot close, but we weren't flying around the world every couple of days. And, you know, you'd spend more time. When we were doing 12, 14 shows a year, it was a different time in the business. So you were at the camps a lot more. But it's hard because everyone's different. You know, like age is just a number. That's a lovely saying. There's been lots of hard conversations over the time. And it's much easier to be honest with people. You know, although they don't always like what you're saying at the time, it does, in the long run, makes a lot more sense.
Final question. The race is heating up. The 5K, five-day 5K, you and Eddie Hearn.
Yep.
You can actually bet on it. Check
3-1. Bet
you're,
online.
You're 3-1.
It's a big price. I could be paying for some people's Christmases.
But you're looking trim.
Look, I'm not in the shape of my life, but I'm in a good place right now, mentally, physically. I'm ready for the challenge ahead of me. You know, I know I've got a stern... tough fighter in front of me and Eddie Hearn, but you know, I believe that I can do a job on him. And you know, the race is all going to come down to Saturday morning. He's been asking for a nice flat course. He complained about hills on previous runs. You know, mentally he's not there with it. He's done his men's health shoot. That was 3 weeks ago. He's let himself go a bit. I think he's put on about 9 pounds. He's moaning already. Sorry, I know you want to get rid of me from the podcast.
I'm actually going to check the odds and see if they've shifted at all.
They haven't shifted.
No?
How good would it be to have him play? Because this is the thing, right? I know he's going to go off proper hot, right?
I'll commentate live.
Yeah, later. We should do it on Instagram live.
Yeah.
It's what we should do.
Finish filming.
The whole thing. Just 25 minutes. Just talking about what could be going on this race. Maybe we drone.
Speculating.
Could we drone the whole way?
Who's going to climb in the corner
first?
We're allowed
to have a drone in San Francisco.
We'll figure that out.
We'll stand at the end of the line and just speculate.
But he's, you know, look, he's a big talker. And I know what I'm getting myself in for. He's going to go off double lively, double quick. But then he's going to start panting. You know, I'm all planned out. I've got 7 a.m. I've got my meals ready. At 8:30, I've got my C4 energy shot. You know, I'm going to be there doing my sprints at 8:55. And my heart rate's going to be at the perfect position it needs to be. And, you know, doubt me, but I'll show you what a true winner is.
But there's pride on the line here. This is important. Look, for so many reasons.
For me, I haven't got an ego. There's no pride here. It's about, I want to do this for the people out there. I want to win.
Like, you know what Eddie's like in the office, Frank? You don't want to be on the brunt of that stick from the
But look, if I get beat by him, fair play.
We don't want this attitude.
Look, I'm a realist, you know. But there's been many a moments where the guy's gone off quick, and I've looked at him. I thought he's going to struggle.
You think you're going to beat him, don't you? I can tell.
There's something inside me. I'll be honest with you, because I'd never lie to you. There's something that feels good here. Okay. I had a good 9K or 8K run this morning. You know, the legs are in a good place. They're on running trainers. Can we keep that in?
Yeah.
On running trainers. Send some more size 9. Office address, you know, I'll have as many as you want. I'm ready to go, mate.
all the questions will be answered. The Fight Day 5K, Hearn versus Smith. We could literally,
promote anything, couldn't we?
This is it.
And if you are to have a gamble, obviously gamble responsibly.
Yes, do that.
Well, Scott, it's great to be back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been here on Flash Knockdown. The last one, of course, was in Dublin, and we haven't even really caught up since Katie Taylor's epic victory against Chantel Cameron. What a special night that was, and what a night to be a part of, I guess you could say. Just massive respect to both women.
And also a dramatic win for Andy Lee on the last podcast.
Oh, yeah, taking the charity quiz.
And we've paid Bernardo's, he's chosen the charity, some money. But yeah, an unbelievable night. I mean, we was counting down from it all of the season three, I think. But the atmosphere, Frank touched on it earlier on, the atmosphere in that arena, I've been to a lot of sporting events, Cricket World Cup finals, Football World Cup semi-finals, Euro finals, lots of, you know, high-end football games, but it was deafening. It really was deafening. I mean, incredible. You could hear just, it was obviously very partisan to Katie, but it was so loud. Every punch was, I'm almost sort of speechless trying to recall it in my mind. It was something that will stay with me forever. It eclipsed the first fight, which I didn't think could happen, but it did.
Well, I think the obviously before the bell started quite early that afternoon in Dublin, and I think by 6 p.m, the atmosphere was just raucous, and that went right up until 11 p.m. when Katie was in the ring. I must say, when I got in the ring to do the post-fight interview, I don't know how the three arena do it in Dublin, but the stand is almost illuminated, so you could see everyone's faces looking back at you. And when I got in the ring at the end, I won't lie to you, I was terrified.
I'm not surprised, to be honest. I'm not surprised.
It was scary, that. But amazing. Great experience, but terrifying.
I can imagine. Like you said, yeah, it's a weird configuration of the venue. A bit similar to the Leeds one, isn't it?
Like a Colosseum.
I can imagine, yeah, the people just on top of you. Like you say, the Colosseum. It's obviously been built with you know, a spectator-friendly sort of atmospheric view. So I can imagine, yeah, looking up, you must have been like, oh, shit.
I did feel a bit like a god, though, because every word I said, it was just like...
You could have said anything.
Anything.
And they would have cheered.
I could, have said absolutely. I could have said Flash Knockdown.
Do you remember when Joe Laws went rogue back in the day on Sky with Andy Scott? He basically was just chatting shit. He went like, oi, oi. And they went, hey. Yeah. And then he went.
It was like that. Didn't he say something about Devin Haney?
Yeah, he goes, I'm going to bat Devin Haney. And it just, yeah.
Do you remember that? The fight that never happened?
I do, yeah.
Devin Haney and Joe Laws.
It's still on YouTube, actually, the spa.
Is it?
You not seen it?
No.
So the story was, it was Jordan Reynolds and Joe Laws, wouldn't it? They went out on the piss in Vegas, got absolutely battered till like 4 or 5 in the morning, then went down Mayweather's boxing club at like 9, jumped in the ring, and the footage is there to be seen. Joe lands a few punches on Devin, and I think he's sort of took that and amplified it, shall we say. Funny though, funny.
Character. What a character Joe Laws is. And obviously from Dublin, straight into what was a big week north in Belfast, and, you know, in boxing, you have stories, and the good guy sometimes wins. And Mick Conlon's a great man as well, and we're good friends with Mick. But in the case of Jordan Gill, you saw someone who has been through a lot outside of the ring that no one had any real idea about, apart from those incredibly close to him. You know, I don't even really think Dave Caldwell, you know, listened to an interview this week, knew the true extent of what Jordan said in that ring afterwards. And that was a case of a really good person having a really, really special night.
Yeah, yeah. It was such a great post-fight interview, and props to yourself there, to be fair, of sort of getting that out of him. But yeah, I had no idea. You know, I would say I'm a friend of Jordan's, literally had no idea that he was going through all that in the background. And, you know, sometimes I think it's a bit of a stigma for males. You know, we bottle things up. And ultimately, I think he spoke about it, and it got him through it with maybe the change of scenery and whatnot. Obviously going for a terrible time, and to see him have that moment when, I'll be honest, I didn't see Jordan Gill stopping Michael Conlon at all. Mm. And I went in the change room afterwards and I said, you know what, fair play, I'll put my hands up. Did not see that. For him to have that moment and now to, you know, be in a position where financially he could secure his future in his next fight is pleasing to see. You referenced it earlier on, I think off camera. He genuinely is one of boxing's good guys. And I'm pleased for him. Like you say, friends with Mick as well, and sad to see him maybe go out like that to go out. But, you know, it was a fight where only one man could prevail.
I think Jordan Gill is one of them fighters. I think young fighters should look at Jordan Gill and look at his records, and, you know, if they've had a defeat, they should look at someone like Jordan and know that it never is the end. You know, you've only got to look at Jordan and his really good friend Lee Wood to know that no matter if you do have a setback in this sport, with hard work and dedication, there's always room to get back to the top level like Jordan did. But I think it's more than that. You know, the way he spoke so openly about that should be an inspiration to a lot of us, that it's good to talk about topics like that, about certain feelings. And I think Jordan Gill has probably inspired a lot of people in the process, not just in terms of the boxing aspect, like I said, about bouncing back from defeat, but also about understanding their feelings and being proud of themselves for overcoming adversity, not just in the ring, but in their life as well. So massive shout out to Jordan Gill. If you're wondering why my voice does sound a bit croaky, I'll be honest, the 8 hours jet lag time difference has absolutely butchered me. I feel awful.
Hey, you had about 6 hours sleep on the plane. You should have been all right.
Oh, I had about 30 minutes. I've really struggled.
This side of America is difficult, isn't it? It's not like New York. I think New York, you can almost hit the ground running and crack on.
I've not seen 9 p.m. since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I've been up from 4 a.m. And like, I sound like I'm moaning. Like, listen to him. He's in San Francisco. I am loving being here in San Francisco and being part of such a huge event, but I feel absolutely dreadful.
But the positive is, episode 2 of season 4 next week in Phoenix, you should be tip-top.
You listen to me now. You wait till you hear me in Phoenix. I'll be flying. Can't wait for that, by the way.
That's going
to
be epic.
That's another one I feel like we've been previewing for God knows how long.
There's a few things. We've been pretty busy today. I've had a few messages from people about Sonny Edwards' Instagram. I don't know if he's on a wind-up saying he's not very well and he's got a cold and a flu.
He's on a wind-up.
But yeah, the mind games have started.
If I had a mortgage, I'd put it on it that he's having a wind-up.
Yeah.
Massive fight this weekend in the Chase Center. Boxing, big time boxing back in the Bay of San Francisco. First boxing event at the Chase Center and the first professional fight for San Francisco's Devin Haney in his home city as well. And I think it's a special week for him, not just looking to become a two-weight world champion, of course, against a real danger man in Regis Progre, who really fancies this, just listening to how he was speaking earlier today at the media day. But this is a special fight for Devin, for personal reasons, I believe, as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's surprising in 30 fights he hasn't boxed here as a professional. Obviously, started his career in Mexico as a 15-year-old. Yeah, quite surprised when I saw that stat when the fight was announced. A lot of pressure on him, I would say. You know, we're closing in on a 19,000-seat capacity stadium. He won't have gone through that, you know, him being the A-side. This is the Devin Haney show, even though he is the challenger. So that brings a different element, and how will he deal with it? Seems supremely confident, but, you know, just small things like that. Even having loads of your friends in and around the town can be quite draining. You know, I've seen it before. You're meeting up with him and stuff, but, you know, he's certainly seasoned a lot more in the last couple of years since we last worked with him. But, yeah, new pressures for him, so I'm intrigued to see how that plays out. And, you know, you just referenced there, Regis Progre is bang up for this. This is... I was in and around him for the Zorrilla fight. This is different. You can just sense it. His aura is just different.
Mm. Yeah, just listening to how we were speaking today. I mean, keep your eyes out on Matchroom Social's Inside Look. We'll be dropping a little bit later this week, but you'll hear him fall from Regis Progre. He is a man who, not in any part of his mind, does he not see his hand being raised and hearing Ann Still. And just finally, Scott, in terms of this weekend's fight day 5K, we heard from Frank Smith. The bet is live on Bet Online, so get your money on Eddie Hearn or Frank Smith.
It's pretty surreal just saying that.
I know. But yeah, are we going to do this live commentary on Instagram?
I don't know about live. I mean,
I think we should just go live. Well,
it's a lot of things
for the last 5 minutes, maybe.
It's a lot of things to take into account on a mobile phone doing a live stream. Signal first and foremost. We don't want it to look like a jacket potato. We'll have a camera on deck, worst case scenario.
Oh, like mic's plugged in.
Yeah. So there will be a shot of the home stretch.
Think me and Jack Cattrall should present the finish line and do a post-race interview at the end.
I think Cattrall's probably running it, so...
Oh, is he? Yeah, he'll be well ahead of them too, surely.
We'll see. But yeah, Eddie's opened up at favourite -500, which is pretty much even money back home in the UK. Frank +300, 3-1. With Bet Online, check that out. That is
who's
interesting.
Your pick?
To be honest with you,
I'm going Frank Smith.
I'm not for the upset.
I'm
not an athlete, so I've never been in and around these fight day 5Ks. I always swerve them, so I can't give you any inside scoop of this one. The way Frank was speaking then, he's going to be bang up for this. I'm going to go for the underdog as well.
Okay, well, one way to find out, and that is when we present the coverage on Saturday, which will lead us in amazingly to a huge night of boxing action coming up on the West Coast from the Chase Centre. Devin Haney, Regis Progro, WBC 140-pound title on the line. Wow, can't wait. Well, with the new series of the podcast comes a chance for new elements and new talking points. And I think in recent weeks, something's come to our mind. And with the sport of boxing, as much as there is victory, there is also defeat. And I think it's very important to speak to fighters who do go through setbacks in their career to understand the impact that defeat can truly have on their mindset and their motivation, and to talk about the times where they have struggled, but how also they've been able to use that setback to truly rebuild, find motivation to be victorious once again. I'm very happy to say joining us this week is Beatrice Ferreira, who's in action this Saturday live on DAZN from San Francisco. Bea, firstly, welcome to the show. Before we talk about your element of defeat, which we're going to talk about, and how you've grown from it as a fighter, how does it feel to be back on the big stage here in San Francisco?
Muito obrigado pelo convite. Estou muito feliz de estar aqui e com certeza eu estou muito feliz de estar na minha quarta luta. Estava bem ansiosa para poder finalizar o ano com chave de ouro e estar nesse card com grandes atletas que eu admiro muito, principalmente o Andy, que já vem acompanhando e é uma grande referência que eu tenho desde o Olímpico. Danço por conta dele e estar aqui no mesmo evento que ele é sensacional. Estou muito feliz e muito animada para dar show sábado.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here again in my fourth professional fight. I was very anxious and I want to close this year with Gold K. I'm very proud to be in this card, especially with great athletes as Andy Cruz. Actually, I dancing just because of him. I'm very happy.
So, Bea, the fight I want to talk about with you in this section is the Olympic final against Kelly Harrington. For you as a youngster growing up, why was being in an Olympic final something you always dreamed of?
Foi uma final sensacional. Eu estava muito feliz de estar naqueles Jogos Olímpicos e de ter conseguido me apresentar bem até ali. Eu estava bem confiante. Foi uma luta que eu queria muito, não tinha encontrado ela ainda em nenhuma competição, então eu sabia da experiência, sabia que o peso era duas campeãs mundiais em cima do ringue e que a gente ia fazer um grande show. E foi um grande show. Não fiquei contente com o resultado, então eu me senti desafiada a continuar no Olímpico para poder ter essa revanche. E eu classifiquei, ela classificou, então acredito que a revanche vai acontecer em Paris e eu vou estar muito treinada para trazer esse ouro para o Brasil.
There was an amazing final. I was very, very happy in the Olympics in Tokyo. I had a very good presentation until there. I was very confident. I never had fight her before. There was two world champions together in the ring. There was a great show. But now I want to fight her in Paris and I will be very well trained.
Heading into the fight, the final, and unfortunately losing the final, how difficult, Bea, mentally was the defeat for you to not take home the gold medal?
Eu fiquei com muita raiva após o resultado, mas eu estava muito orgulhosa da minha performance, de ter conseguido chegar até ali. São poucos atletas que conseguem, e então eu estava me sentindo especial, mas Tóquio ia ser a primeira e última, né, Olimpíadas, e não foi isso, porque eu me senti desafiada. Eu acho que eu posso ser campeã olímpica, então o resultado não foi satisfeito, eu sei que eu sou capaz disso, então resolvi treinar mais um pouco e tentar novamente, e dessa vez vai ser diferente.
I was very angry post result because I'm very proud to be there at the final. Many few athletes can do this in the Olympic final. I was very, very special. Tokyo supposed to be my first and my last Olympic Games, but it wasn't. I feel myself, I want this gold medal because I think I can be Olympic champion. I know I'm capable for this and I will fight, and this time will be different.
But how difficult was that period for you mentally after the loss? How low were the low times?
Olha, foi bem difícil, foi bem triste, porque eu sabia que eu estava pronta e que eu não aceitei aquele resultado. Mas eu tive pessoas boas ali ao meu redor, a minha equipe, que mostrou que não era o fim, né? Que não precisava me lamentar e que era para eu curtir uma prata, porque sim, é uma medalha olímpica e muita gente quer uma medalha olímpica, então eu já me destacava, já era diferente de ter conseguido chegar em uma final. Então eu tive meu momento de raiva, extravasei, mas eu também pude aproveitar e curtir a minha medalha de prata, mas já me desafiando para a próxima. Eu já saí de Tóquio já pensando em Paris e já com a ambição de trocar a cor da medalha. Então, eu acho que graças à minha equipe, à minha família, eu soube separar e dividir, saber que não era o fim do mundo aquilo ali, mas sim mais motivação para voltar, tentar e conseguir na próxima vez.
Well, that was very sad. I knew that I was ready for this and I do not accept the result. I have good people at my side, my team, my family. There was not the end. And I would like to enjoy the silver medal, because there was an Olympic medal, actually. There was a moment of anger, angry, but I enjoy my silver medal and challenge myself for the gold in Paris. And thanks to my family and team, I could see that it was not the end of the world. So I could keep a little more motivation to try again and take this gold medal now.
What do you believe you learned about yourself after that final?
Me manter tranquila, acreditar. Eu sou uma boa atleta. Se precisar mudar de jogo, eu vou conseguir mudar na hora. E eu aprendi que tudo acontece por uma razão. Minha vida toda foi assim. A minha carreira no boxe foi surpreendente. Eu treino boxe desde novinha. Mas eu me arrisquei ser um atleta de alto rendimento um pouco tarde, então eu sabia que eu tinha que aproveitar todas essas oportunidades que viessem. Então, eu tô nesse caminho, tô aproveitando todas as oportunidades. Não foi em Tóquio, mas vai ser em Paris. Eu confio nisso e acredito.
I keep myself believing that I'm a good athlete and if you need to change the game, I can change. Everything happened for a reason. So I have an amazing career. Besides, I start with an age of not so young. So I enjoy all the opportunities. There was not in Tokyo, but it will be in Paris, and I believe in this.
What do you believe, Bea, would be your message to fighters around the world of why a defeat isn't the end and why we shouldn't give up?
Olha, se é um sonho, se é a sua vontade, se é o seu querer, ninguém tem que querer mais do que você. Você que tem que querer. Então persista, insista e nunca desista. Porque tá no alto do pódio, tá com sua medalha, é grandioso e não tem sensação melhor. Vale a pena todo o sacrifício.
Oh, if it's a dream, your will, if you want this, so keep going, insist and do not... believe in your dream and keep working.
Never stop.
Perfect. Bea, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you back in the ring on Saturday night, and it's great to hear how you've been able to use that defeat to move forward positively. So thanks so much for speaking to us. Well, thanks as always for listening to Flash Knockdown, and thanks to our guests. What a brilliant way to open series for Beatrice Ferreira, Frank Smith, Regis Prograis, Devin Haney and Ebony Bridges. I'll be on the ground for tomorrow's press conference and weigh-in day from San Fran. Loads of podcast drama coming up in the build-up to Haney Prograis live this Saturday. Of course, one place to watch it, that is DAZN. As for Flash Knockdown, we'll be back on the ground in Arizona next week. See you then.